Side of Sports with Sunny Young, and happy Wednesday, Sunny.
Happy Wednesday to you, Kim.
Well, Sunny, I understand Commonwealth Games boxing tops your sports report this evening.
Kim, it's the seventh day of competition at the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow, Scotland. In the boxing ring Wednesday, heavyweights from Nigeria and Kenya had mixed results in their quarterfinal bouts. Efetobor Opochi of Nigeria was in a jubilant mood after beating Australia's Jai Opataya. Reports from Glasgow say Opochi almost wrecked the ring with some boisterous and booming somersaults, and then he shook his hips in celebration. Meanwhile, Kenya's Charles Okoth was in a more somber mood after losing his heavyweight fight to New Zealand's David Light. Moving down in weight, another Kenyan, Benson Engengiru, was victorious in his bantamweight quarterfinal. Benson beat Tafari Ebanks of the Cayman Islands. Elsewhere, fighters from Uganda and South Africa lost their quarterfinal bouts Wednesday in the bantamweight division. Uganda's Bashir Nasir lost to Michael Conlan of Northern Ireland, and South Africa's Ayabongo Sonjika lost his fight against Sean McGoldrick of Wales. Still in Glasgow, the results of a B sample for a Nigerian weightlifter who flunked a doping test at the Commonwealth Games are expected Thursday. Chika Amalaha, the gold medalist in the women's 53-kilogram division, was found to have taken two drugs that are banned as diuretics and masking agents. The B sample, which will confirm or deny the original sample, was sent to a laboratory in London accredited by WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency. Amalaha is provisionally suspended. If the result is upheld, she could appear before the Commonwealth Games Federation Court and have her medal stripped. Mike Hooper, who is from New Zealand, is also the chief executive officer of the Commonwealth Games Federation. Regarding Amalaha's case, he says, and I quote, "We shouldn't presume anything just yet." Hooper says a total of 731 samples have been taken since July 13th. Of those, 321 were pre-competition, and 410 were during competition. In Commonwealth Games competition Tuesday, Joyce Chepkirui led a Kenyan sweep of the medals in the women's 10,000 meters race, as we hear now from our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Ouma.
Joyce Chepkirui clocked 32 minutes and 9.35 seconds to lead Florence Kiplagat and Emily Chebet in a 1-2-3 Kenyan medal podium sweep in women's 10,000 meters in athletics on Tuesday. Later, 20-year-old Faith Chepngetich Kipyegon prevailed in the women's 1,500 meters in 4 minutes and 8.94 seconds, while in women's 400 meters, Botswana's Amantle Moncho was fourth, followed by Nigerian Folashade Abu Gun. Meanwhile, in swimming, South African Chad Leclos bagged the bronze medal in men's individual 200-meter medley relay. Staying in Glasgow, South Africa is seventh on the medal table as at Tuesday. They have amassed 9 gold, 7 silver and 10 bronze medals. Kenya is 10th, Nigeria 12th, Cameroon 15th, Mozambique 20th and Namibia 25th, while Ghana, Mauritius, Uganda and Zambia share the 26th spot with one bronze medal each out of 33 nations and territories on the medal chart.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOANews.com.
And when you visit VOANews.com, Make sure you check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog, in which I write about a variety of sporty topics. My latest blog post is titled 8 World Cups, and I write about a new book by George Vesey, longtime sports columnist for the New York Times newspaper. In the book, the 75-year-old Vesey reflects on some of his experiences covering the 8 World Cup football tournaments before Brazil 2014. For our VOA listeners keeping score, that would be Spain 1982, Mexico 1986, Italy 1990, USA 1994, France 1998, Japan, South Korea 2002, Germany 2006, and South Africa 2010. My VOA colleague Park Brewer reached George Vesey by phone in New York and asked him, which World Cup was your favorite as a reporter?
Well, I want to sound like a parent here, which I am, and say, oh, I never have any favorites because everyone is different, everyone is special, blah, blah, blah. Now, I could look at it this way and say that the first one is always going to be special because it is first, and that was the one where Italy won, and I started off in Barcelona with that great group of Brazil, Argentina, and Italy. And then if you'd say, well, which one was your favorite as an individual, you know, the World Cups have been held in so many great places that the fun of living in these cities, I mean, 4 or 5 of them, my wife was with me. We rented apartments, if we were lucky enough, in Paris and Rome. So it's very hard. I know the one that I feel like I missed the most, that I just didn't see, was the one in the United States because the country is so big and I had to fly around. Also, I was living at home, so I didn't quite get, you know, when I was around New York, so I didn't quite get the feel of it that I did for the others.
Who was your favorite World Cup personality to cover?
If I say favorite, the guy I write about the most in the book is probably Maradona because I was witness in 82, about 10 rows up from the field, watching him get beaten up by Claudio Non Molto Gentile, not very gentle at all, and just pounding him, kicking Maradona. And then I wound up covering him in 86 with Before the Hand of God and being around him. And then in 90, I was trying to interview him, and I tell the story in the book about how I tried to make a phone call from the States to his house. Somebody gave me his number. And what happened when I made the phone call, I started first in my bad Italian, and then I switched to my bad Spanish, and this guy kept goofing with me on the phone. And then the punchline is who that actually was, and that's in the book.
George, how has covering the World Cup changed through the years? Obviously, it's more widely followed now than ever before, but certainly the changes in technology have had a huge impact for both writers and broadcasters and the way they reach their audiences.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I included some of this in the book. My editor said, well, people don't really care that much about the way you work. But I think that people who have come along in the computer age, who have seen things grow, can appreciate that the game of soccer didn't necessarily totally change in 8 World Cups. But electronics, the way we, and not we the journalists, but the way we the world do our business. So from a point of view of writing, when I started in 1982, I was working with a machine, a great big clumpy machine that actually had no battery backup. It had to operate on electric power. So somebody cut off the electricity in the press box after a game one night, not realizing what those people, and it totally blew out my machine. I had to go out and buy new parts to it to make it work the next day. So there is that. And then in terms of information, I couldn't look things up in 1982. There was no internet. FIFA doesn't give out much information anyway. They don't believe in really helping the reporters much. So it was hard to even get rosters of who people were. You go forward to 2010, and in South Africa, they had terrific electronics. Wherever you went, you could look up the players' backgrounds. You could look up, and everything graduated. The other thing to talk about electronics is the social media, how that affected things. I mean, 1982, I would file by computer, to be sure, by telephone, and you'd be like throwing a story in the bottle. You didn't even know how it was being received because you didn't see the newspaper till you got home. By 2010, and certainly in 2006, fans were using the social media to come back at you during games. Like you'd be getting emails from people saying, what's with that Bruce Arena? Why isn't he playing DeMarcus Beasley on the left side? Why is he playing him on the right side? Everybody knows he's got a love. And you'd be looking at this stuff and saying, those fans are right in the game at regular time, at warp time, and they're participating in just like the players.
That's George Vesey, the longtime sports columnist for the New York Times newspaper. George has a new book out titled 8 World Cups, and he was talking from New York with my VOA colleague Park Brewer. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny. You'll see photos and videos at my Facebook page, and you can also post your comments. And my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. In pro basketball news, the Los Angeles Lakers have introduced former guard Byron Scott as their new head coach. Scott won 3 NBA championships with the Lakers during his playing days. At the news conference in Los Angeles, 3 former Lakers greats, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Jamal Wilkes, were all on hand, and all 3 paid Byron Scott tribute. They seem to give a big thumbs up. Scott does have previous coaching experience in the NBA. He took the New Jersey Nets to consecutive NBA finals in 2002 and 2003. Scott has also coached the New Orleans Hornets and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Byron Scott, the new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to Yehaeus Wuhib